is Light to the World, as we go on with our short series in one of the longest books in the Bible. We could spend a lot more time on it, but it's very much a thematic approach to Isaiah. And the people of Israel must have wondered at times where the light was. For God's chosen people, and that's what they believed that they were, that's what the scripture said they were, they endured some exceptionally dark times. Tracing their history back to Abraham, they had the promise that they would be a great nation and a blessing to all people on earth. And perhaps they were great, and perhaps they were a blessing at times. And yet how they must sometimes have wished that God would choose another people with all that they went through. In the time of Jacob, famine hit the land, and his family had to go cap in hand to Egypt for help, not knowing that it was the lost son, Joseph, who would be blessing them with food. And they moved to the place of blessing in Egypt, but ended up under the curse of slavery. As their history unfolded, there were many more ups and downs. And at the time of our reading from Isaiah 19, it's around about 750 to 725 BC, as we would call it. And Egypt, the old enemy, has faded a little from view. A new oppressor has risen from the north, the mighty empire of Assyria, which is ruthlessly conquering and controlling its vanquished people with a regime of terror. And into this scenario, God speaks through Isaiah to Israel some words that they may love and some words that they may hate. Egypt will be judged, and God's hand will be raised up against them. At last, the people of Israel might think, they will get their comeuppance. Then the words they may not like. As the oppressed people, now the oppressed people of Egypt, cry out to the Lord Almighty, he will make himself known to them and send them a savior and defender. The people from whom God rescued Israel, centuries before, will themselves be rescued from Israel. The present oppressor, Assyria, will be welcomed. A highway, Isaiah says, will go from Egypt to Assyria, right through Israel. And the Lord will bless all of them, saying, "Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance." This is the God who so often does what we don't ask for the people we least expect. The one who turns established values on their heads. This is the God of the upside down kingdom, reversing our often ungodly attitudes for his heavenly actions. The God who says through Isaiah, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. As we look eastwards to Ukraine, we see a people overshadowed by darkness, but on whom, I have to say, and through whom, God's light seems to be shining with tenacity and with hope. It seems only fair, doesn't it, that God should do that for a people who are unjustly oppressed. But might God also shine his light on those who unjustly oppress them? It would seem unfair. And if you find that thought offensive, you're probably in good company with the Israel who heard this prophecy. How could God even contemplate such a thing as blessing Egypt and Assyria, as blessing Russia and Belarus, perhaps? And yet this is part of the vision presented by Isaiah, that all nations be drawn to the Lord our God as he brings light to the world. Isaiah's vision speaks of God's love for those outside of Israel, not just inside. His invitation for them is to share in the blessing that's promised through Abraham. Effectively, God's word through Isaiah is saying there are no outsiders to God's love. All can know him, nations and people. Now, if you are still offended at the thought of God choosing to bless those that seem to unjustly oppress, to bless those who don't deserve it, I offer you the words of the late Desmond Tutu, who said, "We may be surprised at the people we find in heaven. God has a soft spot for sinners. His standards are quite low." It's brilliant, isn't it? But as we think of that, who are the people that you might exclude from heaven? Who might you exclude from God's blessing? Think about it the other way around as well. Who might exclude you? Well, thank God, it is neither you, nor me, nor them who decides. It is him. It is him. And yet God called Israel to live in such a way that those outside the people of God would be drawn in by the people of God, that they might join them and be blessed in God's love. And Jesus calls his church to be the same. "You are the light of the world," says Jesus. "Don't hide it. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." To us as individuals, but mainly as a church together, Jesus says, "Let your light shine." How visible are we to those on the outside? How are we shining the light and love and presence of God? Well, I think, Mike, you've reminded us very effectively, really, in your prayers of some of the ways in which we're seeking to do that. We're seeking to shine through the Renew Cafe, shining light, perhaps, into the darkness of people's struggles with mental health, through providing a quiet, shared space where it's okay not to be okay. You've heard me talk already about Lace Hill Funday next Sunday, an opportunity to be the presence of God in the community in which we worship Sunday by Sunday, and have done so, do you realise now, for nearly 6.5 years, give or take the odd 12-month gap, I guess. We have that opportunity to be there and to radiate God's love. One of the interesting things about that, about being a part particularly of the community around where we worship, is, for example, last Christmas when we had the approach from the Residents Association saying, "Will you come and lead carols for us?" Because we're good at that, aren't we? But to be asked, I think, was the key thing. To know that we were appreciated and were visible in our community. We might think about Holiday Club. And yes, I know there have been some changes in that for this summer. It's going to be something of a slimmed down version. But still, we have the opportunity of working together with other churches in our town to share stories of the God who loves all. There are other things that I could mention, so please don't feel excluded if I haven't mentioned the thing that you were involved in. Could we do more? Well, of course. I mean, there is always more that we could do, isn't there? And let me say, that's not just my work as minister, but it is our mission together. We work together as God's people. And if you have a brilliant idea through which we might shine more brightly, then please share it and be willing to invest time in it and be a part. It seems that Isaiah progressively explores the theme of light to the world through the people of God. And God's message keeps coming through him that there are no outsiders to God's love. In Isaiah chapter 56, and I said this is very much thematic going through different parts of Isaiah, but in Isaiah 56 verses 4 to 7, the Lord says to the eunuchs, who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenants, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Now, according to the law of Moses, any person who was seen as less than a man was excluded from God's people, as was any person who was a foreigner. In Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, we find someone who was both of these things, an Ethiopian who was a eunuch traveling through the desert, and somehow he was drawn by the light of God to the Jewish faith. And he was reading aloud, we're told, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Probably he knew that the law excluded him, but had read that the Lord did not. How could he be fully part of the people of God? He may have been pondering. And at just the right time, and doesn't God so often do this? At just the right time, when he was reading from Isaiah 53 of the one who was led like a lamb to the slaughter, God's Spirit brought Philip alongside, an evangelist who told him the good news about Jesus. And the man was so moved that as they traveled along the road together and saw water, remember this was in a desert, so this was pretty timely and maybe a miraculous thing, at the very least an oasis in the desert. As they saw water, the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And for Philip, and for God, the answer was nothing. Nothing could stand in the way. So he baptized the man, who went on his way, rejoicing and knowing that God loved and included him, despite what the law had said, despite what others said. God loved and included him through the death of Jesus upon the cross. I wonder if you are here this morning feeling that something does stand in the way of you being included by God. And maybe it's something from your past that you deeply regret. God forgives you in Jesus. Maybe it's a feeling that you're not worthy. God makes you worthy in Jesus. Maybe you have been excluded in the past because of your gender, your age, your sexual orientation, your disability, your nationality, or the color of your skin. God welcomes you. Maybe you don't feel that you know enough or can trust enough. Know that God knows you and invites you to come in hope with the little faith that you have. Maybe you feel unlovable. God loves you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you. So what can stand in the way of you being included? Nothing. What can stand in the way of you being baptized? Maybe. Do you know, I realized this morning that today is my baptism anniversary, if that makes sense. I realized that because Facebook reminded me that 6 years ago, I baptized my daughter Joanna out there on the playground. You know what it's like if you've been with us often enough for baptisms. And I knew that the date of her baptism was the anniversary of my baptism many years before when I was a month short of my 16th birthday. So it's a good memory to have. It's good to celebrate these things, isn't it? And yes, I integrity demands really that I remember as a Baptist minister that we are Baptist, Methodist, and United Reformed Church in our makeup, and therefore other forms of affirmation of faith are available. But what can stand in the way of you being baptized or confirmed, if that's what floats your boat, although that's probably the wrong choice of words, using water again, isn't it? What can stand in the way? And if you've been thinking about it, this summer would be a great time to do it, particularly if it's baptism. First, because as I've already intimated, we do it outside. And it's warmer in the summer than at other times. But second, because it's a great way of showing that you know that you are included as a follower of Jesus, as one of God's people. So I leave that with you as a challenge. What can stand in the way of you being included in God's people? And the answer is nothing. Simply come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, yes, in repentance, old-fashioned word, that isn't turning from your own ways to God's ways. Come in faith. Even the little that you have, nothing can prevent you from being included. Let me take us to another passage in Isaiah 60, which explores the theme of light, where it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, and the nation shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Wonder what this next bit reminds you of. "They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord." Isaiah has this vision, I guess, of God shining in all his magnificence over Zion, the city of God, in such a way that nations will be drawn to the light. It's not our light that draws people to God. It is the light of God that has drawn us to him, which now shines in us as we believe through Jesus. It is that light that draws people to him. And Isaiah looks to a future of which we are a part because we know Jesus. And in Isaiah 49:6, we read these words. The Lord says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will make you also a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." The light of God, the light of Jesus, has reached us, hasn't it? Could let it reach your faces at least. The light of God has reached us. And he calls us now to shine his light, that there may be no outsiders to his love. Some of you will know that there's a song by Wren Collected called No Outsiders. And I'm going to use those words in a moment as we gather around the communion table. This is a place where we welcome you to come, to receive bread and wine, to know that you are included. It may be that you'd come today for the very first time. And this could be a really good way of you saying to Jesus, will you include me in your kingdom? And to know Jesus' affirmation, yes, yes. So we'll welcome you to come. Communion today for the first time in a very long time. We're going to invite you to come forward to receive it in a few moments. It's possible there might be some children, young people coming back to join us. So young people in particular often do. Have we alerted? I'm just looking. Might be good to alert. thanks. Don't want to leave them out if they want to come. As we're waiting, let's just pause, let's be still.